Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by Pastor Tracy Harold.
Thank you, Brother Steve. Thank you, choir. Thank you, quilting ministry. Thank you for the man that's going to flip off the boiler. Turn the boiler off, please. Those of you that are waving, wave this way. We can kind of get a little bit going. I want to do something. Do something a little different. There are many of you fellas, and perhaps even ladies, that fought in Vietnam. I was talking to Danny Rembelski. Danny fought in Vietnam. Many of you others fought in Vietnam. And Danny was telling me, he said, "Preacher," I asked him. He wouldn't tell me, but I point blank asked him. I asked him, I said, "Danny," I said, "what was it like when you got home back into the States? I mean, what was your welcome like?" And he beat around the bush for a minute, and I said, "Danny, just tell me." And finally he said, "Preacher," he said, "you know," he said, "there were those running around calling us baby killers. There were those running around." I think he even said one of the men that was with him that got off the plane and coming through, somebody spit at him. But I want you to help me do something, Emmanuel. I want on the count of three. First of all, if you've served in Vietnam, will you stand just for a moment? I want to see you for a minute. If you served in Vietnam, please stand. And perhaps you weren't given the proper welcome, and for that our nation should say they're sorry. But on the count of three, Emmanuel Baptist, I want you to say in unison to these men that fought in Vietnam, I want you to say with a hearty, from the bottom of your heart, very passionately, say, "Welcome home." Will you do that? One, two, three. Welcome home. Thank you for serving in Vietnam. You can be seated, guys. We are grateful. And to be quite honest, I struggle, and I mean this, I struggle perhaps even put in the words the gratitude that is in my heart for your service. I'm able to stand in this pulpit week after week after week and pick on my people. I'm just kidding. Week after week and preach the gospel without fear of an enemy coming in and stopping me from doing so. I owe that to you guys. I owe that to your service. We're grateful indeed for our Lord who gives us freedoms. You know what? And let me just also say this. For those that are of the mindset, and I know nobody in this room, but I know our liberal media tries to portray it, that many times people, you know, don't really like America. You know what? Here's the only problem with that ideology. On a daily basis, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of people trying to get here. Why? Because they understand what we have in freedom is something they long for. And may we never take it for granted. May we never take for granted the freedom that we enjoy as American citizens. You say, "Yeah, but preacher, our country has a lot wrong with it." Sure it does, but it's still a great country. Amen? And it's still, in my opinion, the greatest country to live in. And if you don't agree with that, we're giving tickets away today to tour Cuba next week. So, amen? And it's a do-it-yourself tour. So we may be sending you the proverbial cigarette money in a jail in Cuba. I won't send cigarette money, but I'll send money for you to buy an orange or something, okay? So, but freedom isn't free. Freedom costs many their lives. You know, what's amazing to me is I remember 9/11 like it was yesterday. And I remember when they took those planes into those buildings, and I was working at a restaurant, Fuddrucker restaurant. We were drywalling it up off of, I think it's Square Lake, somewhere up in there. And to be quite honest, when that happened, I thought it was, you know, and I worked with a lot of heathens I worked with, and a lot of times on those radio shows, they'll do prank calls. And I remember hearing some of the, you know, the commotion on the air as I was working and I over the radio, and I thought to myself, that's probably the sickest joke I've ever heard in my life, only to realize it wasn't a joke. It was actually happening on our soil, an attack of an enemy. But what happened in the next few days was absolutely unbelievable. Recruiting offices of every military branch were overwhelmed with the men and women coming through their doors to volunteer to serve in our military. That's amazing, is it not? What do you think it is that motivates? Do you think it's a motivator to know that freedom comes at a cost? Freedom isn't free. My heart and my mind thinks of today. It thinks of John, Kayla's husband, who's away from his precious wife, little Kayla, as we call her, away from her fighting for his country. His unit took a direct hit where he lost some of his friends. Why? Young people, freedom isn't free. We don't deserve it, do we? But thank God we have it. Open your Bibles today, please, to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4. I'm not going to keep you long because fried chicken awaits me. Can I get a witness in the building? Excuse me. Hang on a minute. We got a little healthier around here. It ain't fried, maybe it's baked. But if that doesn't whet your appetite, we got a lot of other things over there. We got any teriyaki beef over there? Hallelujah. Can I get a witness in the building? You know, that's the first time many of you ever shouted amen in these walls. Teriyaki beef, glory! I mean, so that's, if I shout teriyaki beef, you got to shout glory, okay? But I want to preach for just a few moments this morning on a hero going home. A hero going home. We draw many parallels with the theme of our services this morning. The theme of freedom. The theme of many that have served, many that are currently serving, and even many that have given their lives. I saw a statistic. I didn't spend a lot of time on it, but I think I saw a statistic that is estimated that over 1 million people have lost their lives in battle, military battles for our country. 1 million people. Wow. It's remarkable when you look at it in perspective of this land, and you look at it in perspective of even the Word of God. The Word of God gives many parallels as far as battles, as far as what the Christian life really is. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, now let me also preface by saying this. I'm grateful to God to be an American. I would not want to be born any other place. I found myself, it was very interesting, when I took a history class, I'm trying to further my education, recently took a history class, and as I was taking that history class, I thought to myself, I wanted to look at my birth certificate. Because what the grades I was getting in my history class, I thought for a moment I was born in Canada or something. But the point is, as we look into the Word of God and we see throughout Scripture and we draw many parallels, I have to preface by saying this statement. As grateful as I am to be an American, and I am, I'm even more grateful to be a born-again Christian in Jesus Christ. But let me say this to you this morning. There's often a misconception, and here's the misconception. The misconception that just because you're American, that makes you a Christian. Ladies and gentlemen, that does not make you a Christian. Being born an American ought to make you grateful. But being born an American does not gain you favor in the eyes of God as far as to go to heaven when you die. You have to be born again. Whether you are an American, whether you were born in France, God have mercy on you. Whether you were born in Canada, whatever the case may be, you still have to have Jesus Christ and his shed blood applied to your sins. So with that, over the next couple of moments, I want to show you a story. It's actually a true Bible account in the Word of God of what I call a hero. He was a hero. Did he serve in the military? No, but he served in the, if you will, the army, excuse me, Marines and others, the army of our Lord. And when you see in the Word of God, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you found your place in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God, please stand. The Apostle Paul is talking to a young man by the name of Timothy. Timothy is a big city pastor. Bud, will you open that window for me, please? You mind opening that? I don't want to lose a pound when I'm preaching. That would be bad. I've gotten myself to an ideal fighting weight, and I don't want to lose a half a pound because I may get a little dizzy if I were to lose weight. I get anorexic. But anyway, but boy, I beat that. But the Apostle Paul is a hero. He's a hero of the faith. The faith that we're talking about is the faith that he had trusted Jesus as his Savior, as his Lord, and God changed his life. There are many in this room this morning that God has changed your life. So let's dig into this story. Let's pick it up in verse number 1. The Apostle Paul, this great general, if you will, in the army of his Lord, he tells this young preacher, he says, Timothy, I charge, look at verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Well, if ever there's a culture which we live in, is it not our culture that can't handle, not barring a military, barring a movie phrase, but indeed cannot handle the truth when it comes to the truth? We live in a culture that wants fable. We live in a culture that if it offends them, they don't want to hear it. But ladies and gentlemen, the truth, may I say on the authority of the Bible, the truth is still the truth, amen? Jesus said, I am the way, speaking of himself, I am the way, I am the truth. Jesus was the embodiment of truth. He goes on and tells us in verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables, but watch. So now he's warning him. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. In verse 6 through 8. Paul then now says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure, literally the time of my death, is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Verse 7, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But notice the good news. Paul says, not to me only, Timothy, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're grateful, Lord Jesus, for what our hearts have already felt, what our ears have already heard today. We rejoice, Lord, indeed, to be an American, and God, we're even more grateful to be born again. You did something for us, Father, that we couldn't do for ourselves, but God, we so desperately needed. When you gave your son 2,000 years ago, Lord, you gave the best that you had. You gave the greatest that you had. And Lord, the best indeed. It's fair to say that the best indeed has died for the worst and dying for mankind. So Lord, we love you. Save souls today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As you look at the Apostle Paul, who was a great warrior for the cause of Christ. He's getting up in years. He's now been arrested. He's now getting ready to die. And Paul understands that. Paul understands that death is just moments away, perhaps moments at longest, perhaps days. But he knows he's going to die. What would you be like if you knew you were going to die? What would be perhaps your final words? They say the final words of anyone are very vital, very important. Well, these were, if you will, the final words of the great man, the Apostle Paul. A man who had spent his life preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was a man that was so dedicated to the gospel, he would say things like this: for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. The gospel, he said to the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says the gospel is none other than the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. That's the gospel message. He said to the Romans in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, but thank God also to the Greek. The gospel came originally to the Jew, but God in his grace and mercy allowed the gospel message to go to the Gentile. And ladies and gentlemen, may I just say to you, why is it important that it went to the Jew? Why is it important that it went to the Gentile? Those two nations basically encompass the whole world as we know it. Mankind needs a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior. I'll stand on the authority of the Bible, and I'll make a very bold statement, and I hope you hear this statement. If you're listening, say, yep, I'm listening, preacher. Here's the statement. You will not go to heaven without Jesus as your Savior. Nobody will. Nobody will go to heaven without Jesus as their Savior. The good news is he'll be your Savior today. If you'll call upon him as Savior, he'll save you. He'll change your life if you'll repent and believe the gospel. But as we look at a hero going home, this is a time where Paul is pouring himself in to this young man. He's pouring himself in to this young pastor. He, in essence, the Apostle Paul, in essence, is really demonstrating for us what a good soldier is. A good soldier understands that his goal is fighting for his country, pleasing his commanding officer, regardless of his commanding officer. His goal is to please and do the orders of that. I remember walking through Atlanta Airport one day, and I honestly try when I see someone in uniform. I really sincerely do. I try to go up and personally shake their hand and thank them for serving in our country and let them know that I'm grateful as an American for them serving this country. And I remember walking up to a young man, and I said to him, I said, son, I said, can I ask you a couple questions? He said, sure. And I told him, I said, well, I said, I'm a preacher. And I said, there's a lot of analogies, there's a lot of illustrations in the Bible that parallel and really compare to a soldier. I said, I've never been in the military, nor would I try to, and I don't, please hear my heart. I don't stand up in this pulpit and try to tell you, for those that have been in uniform, that have served our country, I do not know what you've gone through. I don't. But one thing I do understand, I'm grateful for you serving. So if I say something that may not actually be correct from a military perspective, I don't mean to insult you, but please hear this. So this young man says to me, he said, well, pastor, he said, yeah. I said, well, can I ask you some questions? I said, in your opinion, I said, what is the hardest thing about being away, being in war? And he said to me, without hesitation, and I think our choir, Miss Lori, did a fantastic job. And don't make Stephen come back there, guys. I didn't say that to him. For the record, I didn't tell him to say that to you. But he's got that little short man syndrome. See, when you're below 6'4", sometimes you get a short man syndrome. Some of you are saying, you're below 6'4". I used to be 6'4". I've got a license when I was 19 that says that I am. But Cameron's taller than me now, and he's not 6'4". So I walked into my doctor's office. My wife sends me hang on a minute. I'm the head of my home. My wife didn't send me to the doctor. I went willingly after she called and made the appointment. But anyway, I said to my doctor, I said, doc, I said, true story. I said to my doc, I said, my wife wanted me to ask you about that little knot right there. I said, I've done drywall these years. I said, I think I'm hunched over or something. And my doctor, he goes to medical school for this, right? He looks at me and says to me, he says, what, does Leslie think you're turning into a camel? He said that to me, Bill. And I looked at him and I felt like saying, well, does your wife, Tracy, know how ugly you are? I wouldn't have done that because he'd have gave me a shot or drawn blood from me. And I don't like either one. But the young man without hesitation said to me, he said, Pastor, he said, listen to this. From the words of the lips of a soldier. He says to me, Pastor, he said, you get used to the gunfire. You get used to the bombs going off. You get used to the bullets flying past you. He said, but you never get used to being away from your family. And I've never forgotten that conversation with that young man. Ladies and gentlemen, as you were watching, not to embarrass Naomi, she's a sweetheart of a girl. As you was watching the choir saying the young girl to your right, who was crying, sobbing, was Sergeant Sutalo's little girl. There were several occasions where they'd be talking to Brother Sutalo on Skype, via Skype. Thank God for technology, amen? Thank God for technology. But there would be times when Adrian would be on, just to let you know what transpires, he'd be talking to his family and he'd say, I've got to go! And he went, and there was one instance where he tried to log off, but he didn't log off, only for his family to hear what was happening and sirens were going off because, you know, bombs were coming in or what have you, the threat of that. And in a mess hall where he would often eat, I ain't calling you fat, brother, by the way, but in the mess hall, but he did say to me, he said, Preacher, I love this uniform. He's retired now. Retired last year? He said, but I have to stay standing now the whole time. I said, I've got a lot of suits like that, Brother Adrian. I'm good. Just keep me straight up. You know what I mean? And if I have to breathe more than twice a minute, we're in trouble. I ain't calling you fat, brother, for the record. I'm not. In the mess hall where he would often go to, several soldiers were killed when they rocket thrown or whatever that, what do you call it? Rocket attacks. Thank you for clarifying that. Rocket attacks. And one night, every night, Sergeant drank coffee and he would dump his coffee out next to in a certain spot. And sure enough, another rocket attack happened. A rocket came over and hit a van. It didn't explode, thank God, but hit a van. And just destroyed that van right where normally Adrian would be every night just pouring his coffee out. We take for granted what these men go through. But may we never take it for granted. May we never take for granted what these families go through. I remember as Sarge was away and David would play. I think he's playing soccer. And we'd go and we'd watch little. You ever watch little David play soccer? He's crazy. He don't care if they're 8 foot tall. Where is David? There he is. He loves to hunt, too. If you ever want to talk, he's a hunting machine. He's a killing machine. Missed a 4-point, but we won't talk about that, David. He's in therapy right now because he missed a 4-pointer. We're talking about a cat, by the way. God, I get away. That's another sermon. But we'd go as Sarge was away and we'd watch his kids play sports. And we'd take all the pictures we could and try to send them. And Terry would let them see them. And, you know, the absence of a father or a mother in war times is very devastating on a family. We don't take that for granted. We're grateful for your sacrifice. We sincerely are. And we thank God for that. Many of you have retired from the military like Sarge has, and we're grateful for that. We're indeed thankful for that. The Apostle Paul in our passage very quickly shows us what it's like when a hero goes home. He knows he's dying. He knows in a matter of moments, in a matter of days, and he even alludes to it. In just a matter of moments, in a matter of days, perhaps, he's going to see his Lord. He's going to see the Savior that changed his life on the road one day. What do we see in the hero going home? Well, first of all, he had not dishonored his commander-in-chief. Paul, in his lifetime, in his service to his Lord, after trusting Christ as his Savior. You see, here's what you also have to understand. The man that we're talking about, this Apostle Paul, he was not always the Apostle Paul. He had a past. There was a time in his life he was a religious zealot. He was crazy in his religion. And by the way, there's a lot of religions that makes people crazy. Amen? You say, yeah, but preacher, people are sincere in their religion. They may be sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. It was religion, in the name of religion, that caused those lunatics to fly those planes into our buildings in New York. In the name of religion. But may I go on record again and say to you, it's not religion that gets you to heaven. It's a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, the Lord God. So we see in this passage that Paul, he had not dishonored his commander-in-chief. Look at his text in verse number 6. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Look what else he says. Look at this now. Verse 7. "I have fought a good fight." He wasn't a draft dodger. He wasn't an AWOL soldier. He had stayed in the battle. He stayed in it, he stayed in it, he stayed in it. When it got tough, he stayed in it. When the battle was raging around him, he stayed with God. When it was difficult to serve Jesus, he still served him. When he was on the mountaintops enjoying sweet fellowship with his Lord like never before, he served him. When he was in the battle or when he was in the valley, when he was running for his life from people trying to kill him because of his message, he still served him. He didn't dishonor his commander-in-chief. He understood that his orders come from glory. His orders came from heaven above. And God had called him into his service. And God had called him into the ministry. He said on one occasion, he said, "I thank Christ Jesus my Lord, who hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." God had put him into the ministry. He was called of God into the ministry. The greatest illustration of what the call of God is was given. And I heard Dr. Homer Lindsay Jr. of the First Baptist Church of Jacksonville, Florida say one time, he said, talking to a bunch of college students that were in the crowd, he said, and seminary students, he says, "Fellas," he says, "understand that the call to ministry is indeed that. It's as if God Almighty sends a plumb line from the portals of glory down into a young man's heart and calls that young man to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ." And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what happened to Paul. God had called this wild man, Saul of Tarsus. He saves him, later known as the Apostle Paul. He calls him into the ministry to preach the gospel. And thanks be unto God, the Apostle Paul stayed faithful to it. To all the ones that are in the military and have served in battle, thank you. Thank you for protecting the line. Thank you for staying faithful. Thank you for choosing freely. You say, "I was drafted." You still served. You still served. You didn't run to Canada. If they ran to Canada, may they still keep running. Amen? Freedom isn't free. Thank God for men and women when called upon. And here's what's amazing to me. To know that if it was necessary for you in military, to know that if it was necessary that you laid down your very life for your country, you would do it without question. Thank you for your service. A couple years ago, we were honored to have a World War II POW in our services. You see, I believe the 12-round Baptist, I believe. Thank God for your service. Paul says, "I fought a good fight. I've stayed faithful." Second of all, we see not only how this hero going home, he had not dishonored his commander-in-chief. Secondly, he had not disobeyed his commander-in-chief. Look at the text. "I have finished my course." I have finished my course. I have done what was necessary. On April the 18th, 1951, General Douglas MacArthur, having been recalled from Korea by President Truman, addressed a joint session of Congress. In that message, he said some things that have stayed with us all through the years. He said, "Old soldiers never die. They just fade away." MacArthur went on to say, he says, "I now close my military career and just fade away. An old soldier," he says, "who tried to do his duty as God gave him the sight to see that duty." Old soldiers never die. Old soldiers never die. The Apostle Paul, we're still talking about him, amen? We're still talking about MacArthur here. We're still talking about you today. We're still talking about the Vietnam veterans. We're still talking about the World War II and the other wars in Korea and Iraq and Afghanistan and other wars in our nation. We're still talking about them. Why? Because we understand. We try to understand what it takes for you to do your duty. You know what I'd love to see? I'd love to see like they did in Roman days. You say, what? There wasn't a cat in all of Rome. Hey, study your history. I can't help it you don't know your history, amen? And as we say down home, it ain't going to make me know, never mind. But anyway, that's another subject. I didn't do too well in Hicked on Phonics, but I got through it, all right. But you know what they do in Rome? When a soldier came home from battle, man, it was a celebration time. It was a welcoming like you've never seen. And as that soldier would march with people throwing petals down at their feet in honor and celebration that their soldier had come home, he would march to the Arc of Triumph. And there as he would go, people would be shouting, thanking him, thanking them for their service to their country. And I'll be honest, let me just say this as well. It's a shame often how our country treats our veterans. You ever been down to the VA hospital? And I thank God for that. But I think we can do a lot better job, amen? Our soldiers have come home, and many of them come home different. Listen, here's something else I think we have to understand. Many times when our soldiers leave, they come back. They may come back. Many come back in the same body, but they come back different. Mentally, emotionally. Some have lost limbs. May we as a nation do better. A Roman centurion, I believe it was, if a Roman centurion served his country for, I forget the length of time, maybe it was 10 years, he was taken care of after that. You say, preacher, you mean to tell me we need to take, you think we need to take, we can't even balance a budget, and you're meaning to tell me we need to take care of our soldiers? Absolutely, brother. I'll tell you where we better not cut a budget. From taking care of our veterans. Amen? Take care of them. May we take care of them. And may we, even as Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, may we even do more in show of appreciation. Kevin, I love you, buddy, and I thank God for your service. Young man saw a lot over there. Talking to some of the Vietnam veterans over the years, some of the stories. Some said to me, preacher, when I arrived in Vietnam, there was a, he said, there, in his words, says, there was a great big black guy that really helped me. He said, I was 110 pounds soaking wet, about my size. I'm really soaked. So he said, and you're in those jungles and you're in that heat. And he said, that man carried my pack for me for days. He not only carried his, he said, but he carried mine till I acclimated to the climate. Danny, that man lost his life, did he not? That soldier was killed in battle. Ladies and gentlemen, freedom does not come free. You say, preacher, why are you taking this the way you're taking it? Well, let's look at the rest of it. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Look at verse 7. I have kept the faith. Thirdly and lastly, he had not disappointed his commander-in-chief. He had not dishonored him. He had not disobeyed him. And he had not disappointed him. He kept it. He kept going. What's the message to us sitting here this morning? You say, preacher, I'm not in the military, so what does this message have to do with me? Prayerfully, it makes you more grateful and makes you more thankful. Not bragging, but I challenge you on this. Sometimes, if you ask my wife, sometimes if we're in a restaurant and we see a soldier in uniform, we'll pick up their bill. We'll pay for their food. We don't go up and tell them we're doing it. We just want them to understand that there are people that watch them and that are thankful to see them in uniform. I'm thankful to God. I mean that. And I said earlier in this sermon, my vocabulary, my lack thereof, does not allow me to truly adequately tell you how I feel. But on behalf of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The Apostle Paul says, I kept the faith. I didn't tuck tail and run. I didn't abandon my other soldiers. I kept the faith. The Apostle Paul is a hero who went home. He went home to his Lord. Can you imagine the welcome he must have gotten? Can you imagine the welcome the Apostle Paul got when he walked through those pearly gates? You think they said something like, welcome home, thou good and faithful servant. Welcome home, soldier. Welcome home. The invitation today is this. I said earlier that being an American does not make you a Christian. If you're here and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, sweet friend, I challenge you right now. I call on you right now to bow your heart and head before a holy God, acknowledging that it was your sins that put Jesus on the cross. And by faith, believe that Christ died for you, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day. And if you right now will repent of your sin and trust Jesus as your Savior, he'll save you, and it absolutely will change your life. I've never been in the U.S. military, but since I was 16 years old, I was enlisted, if you will, in the army of our Lord. If you trust Jesus as your Savior today, you'll become part of that army as well. Serving Jesus Christ, honoring him, making his name known to a lost and dying world. We're grateful. Again, we're thankful. We're grateful. We honor you that have served and are serving. We're thankful to God that we are free. We're thankful to God that we live in a country such as this. Does it have a lot of problems? Sure it does. But as I've said on many, many occasions, my hope does not lie in the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, or the Independent Party. Our hope as believers in Jesus lies in Christ and Christ alone. Amen. Stand with me, please, for hymn invitation. Brother Stephen's going to come and lead us. Miss Bonnie, Miss Tina, I believe, is coming to play the organ. If the Lord Jesus has spoken to your heart, you need to respond. We give you an opportunity to do that. The invitation is a time where if God has touched your heart, maybe during the sermon, maybe in the matter of salvation, maybe you need to be saved. It's a time for you right now to call upon Christ to be your Savior. Ask God to forgive you of your sins and call upon him to save you. believing his gospel, he'll save you. It's also a time that if you are saved and God has spoken to your heart about a matter, maybe you need to come to this altar for prayer. We believe in the old-fashioned altar because it's a time where you get a place where you can come and perhaps rededicate your life to God. And the next time you come in the doors, you can say, you know what? It was down there at that old altar that I made a commitment to God, and I don't ever want to forget that commitment.
We hope you've been blessed by Pastor Tracy Harold's message today. If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.